Jill, he is more than wonderful. Let's go to Psalm 122 this morning. Psalm 122, I preach one psalm a month, and we're on the last Sunday of the month, and I hadn't covered this area yet, so we're catching it on the last Sunday here. I've been here 122 months, and so we do a psalm a month. And let this guide our steps. This is a set of 15, you know, psalms within the 150. That is a book within all five books. There's this little books. They all start with songs of ascent. It's pilgrims going to Jerusalem on special holy days. And they would use 120 through 134 for that. And so we're right in the third one in for this set. This is the one where he arrives in Jerusalem. So you see his feet are within the city gates, and he's made his journey safely there. Let's stand for a reading from the Word of the Lord, if you're able to stand. Psalm 122, a song of ascents, a psalm of David, joy in the house of the Lord. It begins, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the Psalms. We certainly are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Been a busy year for the nation of Israel after they were attacked October 7, 2023. We've made a trip around the sun. They're still busy. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Haifa, Tel Aviv, all of the cities, north, south, east, and west. Pray that you'll use this psalm for peace in our hearts today. Thank you for calling us to worship you and not saying, go away, but saying, come and worship the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for this moment that we have on this beautiful Lord's Day, October 27, the year of our Lord, 2024, to be at Friendly Baptist and to gather together to praise the Lord as we opened in our opening song, lifting our hearts and hands to heaven, and to turn our attention to Psalm 122. Use your word to speak to our hearts. What more could we ask? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there are five books of the Psalms. There's like a set of five. We're in that last set now. We're in book five. But within the five books, there's like a little miniature book, Psalms 120 through 134, used as all of them have the same exact title, a song of ascent. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to worship the Lord on this special day. And they would sing these psalms at Passover season, the day of Pentecost, at the Feast of the Tabernacles. They would all go from literally hundreds, perhaps 1,000 miles away to Jerusalem, spend a week in worshiping the Lord there. This journey started in Psalm 120. The journey continued in 121. The journey, their feet are within the gates in Psalm 122. My feet are within thy gates, O Lord. What a happy day this is. Finally made my journey safe and sound. You say, what's the takeaway of these 15 psalms within the 150? It is that they, in the Old Testament, loved to worship God. It was the highlight of their week. It was the highlight of their year. It was the highlight of their life. And you know, all Old Testament believers loved these psalms. I think we have more reason to love them than they did, because we're on this side of the cross, and this side of the grave, and this side of the resurrection and the ascension. And so we love to worship. I think it's safe to say New Testament believers should, as much as they loved it, we should love it more. And to gather together and worship the Lord is the highlight of our life. I think it's the most important thing we can do in the whole wide world, because we will one day, if we know Christ, cross the threshold of heaven and worship Him, lay down our sword, pick up our palm branch, and worship Him forever. It's going to be a glory, glory, glory day. These loved God, they loved one another. I love the pronouns. There's the us, the we's, the they. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. They use all these plural pronouns to say this is a group activity. Yes, we worship the Lord privately every day. Dennis will come on Sundays and say, have you read the Word every day this week? We worship the Lord privately, absolutely, and the Lord loves that. But He also loves it when us, we all come together and worship God corporately as a body of believers. Today, worship, there's a lot of strange, there's music wars going on, there's worship wars going on, there's all kinds of wars going on. A lot of churches say, I want to know what programs you have, I want to know what methodologies you have. Next week I'll be having a prospective members class. We'll talk about the church. What you won't find is there's not a lot of our program is this, Jesus. Our program is this, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our program is we have confidence in prayer, confidence in preaching, confidence in worship. We worship the Lord together. We are very first principles here at Friendly. Methodologies, programs, we don't focus on so much. We focus on the Lord and come together to worship Him. And I think Scripture can make the case for that. I think you could say the church lived for 1,800 plus years of the early church to recent history without a lot of programs and methodologies. They just came together unpretentiously, gathering in houses, gathering underground, gathering as believers to just very simply worship God. And it doesn't get any better than that. People say church is boring. Church is a has-been. Church is a wannabe. I make my grocery list when you preach your message, preacher. That's what I do. I'm sitting out here making my grocery list. Church can be boring, but if you have ever worshiped God, there's nothing boring about worshiping the Lord. And that is what they're saying. I was glad, not sad, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So let's look this morning at these early saints' affection for just worshiping God, very unpretentiously, very simply, coming together, consumed by Him and Him alone. I want you to notice here, I don't always cover an entire psalm. I'll kind of skip a rock across it today and do the entire all of the verses today for us. And see God's people, that's step number one. I think you'll see us, we, they, them. God's people, corporately we come together. God's people, God's praise. You'll see that in verses 3 and beyond. And then the peace that's there. God's peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the word peace, shalom, is used over and over toward the end of this beautiful psalm. First, God's people. He says, I was glad, singularly, I, myself, I was glad when they, a plurality of people, said unto me, let us come with me. Let's go. It's time to go to church and to the house of the Lord. Now, when I was a kid, they would call, you know, the church, the God's house. That's what we called it when I was a kid. And if I was chewing gum and my mom or dad saw me chewing a piece of gum, they would say, spit that out before you get into church. We're going into the house of the Lord. If I was running in the church as a small child, they would say, do not run in the house of the Lord. And they would scold me and get after me for doing that. We used to call it the house of the Lord. And of course, here he's talking about almost as a prophet. Temple not being has not been built yet. David acting as a prophet. He can see across the mountains, not down into Arkansas, but he can see across the mountains. There's going to be a temple built in this beautiful city. The tabernacle would transition into that temple. And it was almost as though spiritually his soul was already beginning to be thrilled with that thought. And so I just finished up a series of messages on all of the one another's. You remember that series I did ramping up to our 20-year anniversary? Love one another, admonish one another, encourage one another, rebuke one another, forgive one another, serve one another, bear ye one another's burdens. And the whole gist of that was we don't do this worship thing alone. And when you come into Psalm 122, you see those same pronouns. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I can't tell you how many millions of Christians have said, the worst thing I can do is go to church. I mean, the most dangerous thing, the most unprofitable thing. It is a huge waste of time. Actually, it's counterproductive to my well-being. Scripture says just the opposite, that there is no perfect church, no perfect pastor, no perfect people on earth. One day we'll cross the threshold of heaven and glory, glory, glory. It's going to be thrilling to be among the saints of God in a sin-free atmosphere. But until then, we gather together. Christ has joined his perfect head to a disabled body, a body that has it's just challenged. It has special needs. Not perfect. But Christ said, I am the head of the church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. People are saying, I don't need the church. Don't want the church. Dangerous thing to do. Not profitable. Boring. Get it away from me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That the body of Christ is a beautiful thing around the world. The Lord has a people. Those people gather together. The saints of God gather together on earth. We are practicing for heaven. We're getting ready for that great day when we get together with the saints who have gone before us to worship him there. And he doesn't say, go away, go away, go away, see you, wouldn't want to be you. That's what I deserve. What he says is, let's go. You know what that language is? That is language of grace. Come, he says. That is language of mercy. Come, he says. That is language of Jesus. A beautiful song. He's more wonderful. He's more glorious. He's my everything. This psalm has the aroma of Jesus. We can come. We can go into the house of God for one reason. Nothing I've done. Everything he's done. We can come into the house of the Lord. John 3:23 says, the hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And here's the keynote. I love this phrase. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God loves our worship. God loves our private worship. God loves our public worship. God loves it when there's two or three together. God loves it when there's hundreds together. God loves for his people to come together to worship him. I don't deserve to come before him, but Jesus has made me worthy of coming. And so these came to embrace private worship, embrace public worship. And this is not just for Jews. It's written by David. It's written to Jews. It's written in Israel. This text could be New Testament as well as Old Testament. It is for, this is saying, you far-flung Scots, come and worship him. You people of the Middle East, come and worship. Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, America, India, China, North, South, East, West, come worship the Lord. And so we do missions here as a church just to compel them. Take non-worshippers and hopefully introduce them to Jesus so that the non-worshipper becomes a worshiper. From wherever they are, God has a people. Glorious, glorious people. And there's one church. I say there's one church in this town. You say, is it Friendly Baptist Church? We are a part of that one church. But the people of God are gathering together in this community, saints together around the world. Jesus' prayer is answered that they may be one, Father, as you and I are one, that they may share our joy, share our oneness. Jesus' prayers are always answered. We have one Savior, one Father. There is one church, the church of the living God, that worships the Lord in spirit and in truth. I have trees all over these Ozark Mountains, all around my yard there are trees. Many branches of a tree, many branches make one tree. Now you're going to see different expressions of faith, but if they have faith in Jesus Christ, take it to the bank. They are part of the true church of God. He says, let's come. Let's worship together in the house of the Lord. And our feet, he says in like verse 2, after he started his journey in 120, and after he continued the journey, things got a little dicey in 121. In 120, he came from so far away. In 121, he says, I've got to lift mine eyes up to the hills. I only see problems, problems, problems. I need help. My help comes from God. I'm on this narrow path. There's robbers all around. There's bandits all around. I don't know what's behind the next corner. My help comes from the Lord to get me to the place of worship. In Psalm 122, he says, finally, our feet stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be the meeting place. Where can I meet God? Jerusalem. We know today there's a meeting place for sinners around the world. Where is that meeting place? And maybe the better question is, who is that meeting place? That meeting place is Jesus. And so our feet are within the gates. We come to faith in Christ. These are the people of God. This is not dangerous. This is not a non-plus event. This is not the worst thing you can do. This is a glorious thing to do, to worship God together. First, he has a people. The second thing I want you to say, what are those people going to do? They're going to praise in verse 3 through 5. First, God's people. Second, God's praise. Jerusalem, he says, it's built as a city. Really, things are tight. Things are close. It's compacted together. It's like that box that we saw a moment ago, that Operation Christmas. I couldn't believe how much that lady was getting out of that box. I mean, you talk about something that is compacted together. That would be my visual definition for this word. Jerusalem doesn't look like much. If you really want to get, my wife and I saw Jerusalem, and it's shocking to see. Actually, when you go to Jerusalem as a believer, you feel like you're home. But to look at Jerusalem, they have this one stone that they use all across the nation of Israel, and there is no other stone that is used, and there is no other color that is used. If you ever look at a city in Israel, or if you look at Jerusalem itself, it's this one monolithic color. I'm used to Rainbow Row in Charleston, you know, South Carolina. I'm used to colors down here with down on Stormy Point. They just make those colors beautiful of those homes. And in Israel, it is all very sterile. And if for someone from the Ozark Mountains, or someone that maybe has visited Greece, which I never have, but someone that has visited Venice, I'm sure that Jerusalem would not look like much to them. But there is a beauty to it that is indescribable, that you feel like you are home. He says, Jerusalem, you're a city. It looks from the outside small, inside it's huge. The tribes are going to go up in verse 4. The tribes, not just any tribes, it's the people of the Lord. And there are going to be testimonies shared. It's going to be praise time during this song of ascents. It's going to be a time of giving thanks unto the name of the Lord, a time of praising the Lord. For these are the set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. There is this city. It sets there on a hill. It has these variety of gates. We saw several gates where you can enter the city. Beautiful to behold. On the outside, it doesn't look like much for a world traveler, but on the inside, it is filled, just glorious in so many ways. And I think that there's a picture of the church in that. The world looks at the church and goes, I think I'd rather go to a Chiefs game. I think I'd rather go to a Royals game. World Series is going on, and New York's playing, you know, whatever. They're playing this World Series game. I think I'd rather go see something like that. The church on the outside may not look like much, but boy, when you get inside, it is glory, 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 hallelujah, praise the Lord. He says there are thrones there. What kind of thrones? Above all nations, above all powers, above all kingdoms, above all thrones. He is, you know, we sing holy to the Lord, holy in heaven above. The angels sing holy to the Lord. The saints sing heaven to the Lord. The kingdoms sing heaven to the Lord. He may not look like much on the outside, but you get inside. It is time for praise. Jerusalem may look like a city that only a father could love, but that is his city. And that land is his land. And those people are his people. And we're going through the five books of Moses almost to the end, making our run through this thing. And God is giving a land to these blessed people. It may look like a city that only a child, that only a father could love, but God loves Jerusalem, and God loves his people around the world. God loves his church. Anytime you see the word Jerusalem, you could say church. Anytime you see Israel, you could say the people of God, the saints of God. He loves his people, if you will. And he chose the weak to shame the strong, and Jerusalem is his city. Very compact. It looks inconsequential, but it's full of Christ's perfection. It's full of Christ's blood and redemption. It's full of someone more than wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory, hallelujah. And as Jerusalem is beautiful, so his church is beautiful, filled with the cross and forgiveness and regeneration and grace, filled with praise. God's people, God's praise. The last thing I want you to see is not only God's people, God's praise, but God's peace in verses 6 through 9. Pray, he says, for the peace of Jerusalem. It's almost like he's being clever when he writes this. Pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the holy city. And we are doing that as a nation. It's on our prayer list, bright and colorful every Wednesday night. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We've been quoting Psalm 122 on our prayer sheet for over a year now, and we're not taking it off yet. Comes right from this psalm. Pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace that can only be found with God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's the gospel message. Pray for the peace that passes all understanding. Pray for the peace that's foreign to unbelievers, but so believers are so comfortable with it, and it's not so much any. It's like joy. It's not so much an emotion. It is a state of being. The peace that comes from the Lord that washes over us. It's a peace that can only be found through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Jerusalem, it would be full of lambs. Jerusalem would be full of sacrifices. Jerusalem would be, the blood would be running out of the temple and as those sacrifices are being slaughtered within the temple of Jerusalem. It would be a bloodbath. But we have come now on this side of the cross. Our peace is found in our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. And Isaac and Abraham would be going up the mountain, and Isaac would be toting the wood, and Isaac would be toting the fire, and Isaac would be probably bent over and saying, okay, we've got the wood, we've got the fire. And he would say to Abram, Where is the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? Who is it that we're going to... Where is that sacrificial animal, that innocent animal that's going to remove our sins? And Abram would say to Isaac, God himself will provide himself a sacrifice for us. And of course, when they got up there on that mountain, the wood is laid in place and Isaac is stretched out and the knife is extended and an angel says, stop! And there is a ram who was caught by his horns in the thicket. God did provide a sacrifice, didn't he? He sure did. And when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. God did provide. And that is the segue, the gateway, the only door to peace. Pray for peace. This is almost like a gospel call. Come to faith in Christ. Come find peace with God through faith in Christ. There may be those struggling here today and say, I have no peace. I'm overdrawn on peace. I have no peace. There is peace through Christ and Christ alone. God would provide for Isaac a sacrifice. God did provide a sacrifice for us through Christ. And at these high celebrations, I hung on to this text. I usually go somewhere unique for the Lord's Supper and say, I'm going to build the case for the Lord's Supper through this message. And I look at Psalm 122 and I say, I think there's a case here for the Lord's Supper. And I think that if you dwell upon where the peace comes from, and when you look in a moment at this piece of bread, and when you look in a moment at this cup, you will find that you're holding in your hand a meal. You say, is this a Thanksgiving meal? What kind of meal is this? This is what I would call a meal of peace through faith in Jesus Christ. And we are remembering the Lamb who offered his life for our sins. So that when I read, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and when I read peace in verse 7, be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within thee. And this shalom only comes from Christ today. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it was prayed for early in the message. It was prayed for at the offering, before the offering was received. This was a prayer that was part of my pastoral prayer before the morning message this morning. We are praying that you would find peace, and you don't have to go to Jerusalem to find it. You need to go to Jesus to find the peace. And so the Lord's Supper in my heart and mind radiates with Christ's glory, His splendor, His peace in that meal. And so this psalm is not so much about Jerusalem, although the word Jerusalem is in there. Its footprint is there. The psalm is not so much about Jerusalem. The psalm is about the one who would come to Jerusalem. And the psalm is not so much about the place that you meet God, but the person through whom you meet God. And the one who would come, the head of the church, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 122 says, meet Him, find Him, go to Him. And I say, amen. May you find Christ today. In a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. For all who are believers, we want you to be welcome to come to the table. But before that, we are going to sing one hymn. It's a song of invitation. And if anyone needs a Savior today, we want your feet to move, and we want you to come and say, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. May I find peace with God through Christ. And we will say amen to that. You may need to come for prayer. The Lord's Supper is a time to look at yourself. It's a time to examine yourself and to say, Lord, help me. You may actually physically need to come and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not living up to the Lord as I would want. I'm struggling with a besetting sin. I need help. I need prayer. That's a perfect response to this. It may be that you need a church home, and you would see that church is not the worst thing that you can do for your soul. The church is one of the best things that you can do for your soul. To have brothers and sisters in Christ who they say to me, let us go into the house of the Lord and worship Him together. And so you can come in a moment. But before we sing our closing song, let's pray together. Father, the Lord's Supper is a meal of peace. Jesus is the Savior of peace. The Lord's Supper radiates with a message of peace. And Jesus saying, remember me. I pray, Lord, that you would bless now as we sing our closing song. If there's one who needs a Savior, may they come. Others who may need prayer before they partake of the Lord's Supper, do not want to partake of it unworthily, may they come for prayer this morning. Others who may need to come for a church home, Lord, I don't know the needs. Maybe perhaps someone just needing to come to the altar to pray by themselves. Lord, you speak to hearts by the power and the person of your Spirit. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.